make sure you got both feet in. You're not looking out the window for that next opportunity.
And we are back for part two of our riveting conversation with Coach Nate McMillan. If you did not get a chance to catch the first part, be sure to go back and listen to our most recent episode just to ensure that you are all caught up. We hope you enjoy. Video analysis is expensive and your budget probably isn't getting much bigger. Fulcrum Tech is here to help. Used by basketball teams at all levels from Division I all the way to high school, their Angles product is very similar to what you know and allows you to code, capture, and analyze with ease. All you have to do is import the raw video in Synergy with just the click of a mouse. Over the past 2 years, over 60% of Division I teams in conferences such as the SEC, Pac-12, American, NBC, and A-10, just to name a few, have made the postseason, all while using Fulcrum Tech and saving thousands and thousands of dollars compared to their old companies. Reach out to Fulcrum Tech on X at Fulcrum Tech or their sales@fulcrumtech.com. Just shoot them over an email and be sure to mention if you are a Rising Coaches member. Do more, spend less with Fulcrum Tech.
Summer, what I did was I went around to different colleges. I went back to NC State and I went to North Carolina, a rival. And what I was trying to do was go around to these different programs to get a feel for how they put their practice plans together. And I remember, you know, Coach Smith, Dean Smith, allowed me to come to his practice, and I wasn't a Tar Heel, but he just, you know, he had a respect for me. I certainly had a respect for him and just was appreciative of the opportunity to really talk to the man. You know, I played against him, but now I'm talking about coaching, and a lot of my system, meaning my preparing my practices, came from Coach Smith. They did everything by the clock, you know. So if you had an hour and 15 practice plan, that's how much time you were going to stay in there. And everything was done by the clock, and I love that. It was, you know, the structure of it, you know. So that's how my practices were planned. You know, everything was done by the clock. We was 10 minutes on drilling, 10 minutes shoot, you know, 10 minutes free throws, and it was done by the clock. And you know, I just continued to watch other coaches. I went to as many clinics as I could go to. You know, Larry Brown, Coach Brown, invited me to a clinic in Memphis where really it was all UNC guys, and you know, they you know, and San Antonio guys, and you know, but he offered an opportunity for me to come to the clinic, you know, so I would do things like that just to learn as much as I could and touch as many of these coaches as I could, get in front of these guys, get connected with these guys, always show the appreciation for you giving me the opportunity. Because this game, you got to be connected. You have to be connected. You have to be appreciative.
No question, man. Absolutely. That's the heartbeat behind what we do with Rising Coaches. That's exactly what it is.
We are a fraternity. Basically, what I found with Coach Brown was doing was he wanted to make sure that that fraternity was staying connected. We was improving. We was getting better. We was talking about how to improve the game. You know, share with us as much as you can. And I realized that a lot of those guys was not doing that. You know, I'm going up there. I go up there and up there spilling. I'm giving them everything I got. This is how we play defense. This is our calls, and this is what we do.
Right.
Sitting there, and then I got my pen and my pad out, and all these other coaches are talking, and I'm like, and I'm, I don't have anything on my pad. Like, what in the world? I got my pad out, you know, I'm trying to get some drills, and these guys are telling, they're not giving their, you know.
Right, they're telling stories.
And I'm saying, okay, this is how it works, you know? And, have that opportunity, it was great. It was like, wow. You know, I got to meet a lot of different guys and talk to some guys I competed against, but I really didn't know them. So, you know, those are things that we have to do in this fraternity, you know, that we're in. And with that approach for me, it's just, you know, opportunities kept presenting itself for me. You know, I look back on, you know, my career, you know, 37 years in the NBA, 25 years as a coach, 12 years as a player. I've coached with, you know, really had young teams for the most part. But, you know, Seattle gave me an opportunity. Portland gave me an opportunity. Indiana gave me an opportunity. And then I go to Atlanta. They give me an opportunity. And with, and through all of that, you know, I get the opportunity to coach the Olympic team. And it's like, okay, again, you got to pinch yourself. Like, are you serious? All these coaches in the country, okay, college, high school, pros, and you are asking Nate McMillan to be on. And, well, the first thing when they called me, it was like, what USA team are you talking about? You know, for real, it was like, I remember Mr. Colangelo called me back in 2005. He's like, Nate, this is Gary. And, you know, and this was the time that the Olympic committee was changing how they were going to build the team. Because what we had done up until that point, after the Dream Team, we just started, I guess, putting talent on the Olympic team, and all these countries were building teams. You know, these guys were staying together and, you know, playing together for 5-10 years. We was kind of like an all-star team, just putting the best players, and we ended up getting kicked a couple in 2004 and 2003 or something like that. And what the Olympic committee decided, that we have to build the USA basketball different. So there was going to be a 3-year commitment from the coaches. You had to commit for 3 years, and then the players had to commit for 3 years as well. So even though they were not playing or selected, they would select them and put them in a pool of about 30, 40 guys. So year they will these guys these are the guys that are going to come in, and we're going to work, and we're going to select from this group, you know, because, you know, some guys, you know, had some other things to do and couldn't play, but they wanted them to be a part, so they had to attend the training camp. And it really was you know, great how they done it. And at that time they selected Coach K, and they had Coach Boeheim as an assistant, and then they brought two pro coaches on, Mike D'Antoni and myself. But I remember I'm driving to Portland, and, you know, Mr. Colangelo calls me and says, Nate, you to be a part of the national team. And I said, what team are you talking about? 16 and under? Or, and he's like, no, the U.S. Olympic team. I said, oh my, again, four to the bro, get on the phone, call my wife, call my brother, call my agent. You know, so that experience was unbelievable, you know, that I'm going to be assisting these Hall of Fame coaches, the U.S. Olympic, I'm going to be representing the country. And I'm getting this opportunity when there are thousands of coaches out here could have this opportunity. So, And I mean, look, man, I'm blessed. Appreciative of all the opportunities that I've been given. And, you know, what I've always taken the approach is work where you are. You know, take advantage of this opportunity that you have, and give your best. You work for that name on the front of the jersey. You're not, of course, you know, you respect that name on the back, but you're working for that name on the front of the jersey, and you're playing for that front of the jersey. And I've always taken that approach, and it's blessed me with a career that I wouldn't change for anything.
The two things that just bleed out of you, and I know that's maybe an odd way to put it, but the humility is just bleeding out of you. And I remember watching you play, and I always felt like you were a connector on the teams that you played with. Like, again, you said you weren't the best guy, and you almost learned it from a young age, right? Like, you learn how to be a connector, even with the older guys. Like, defend, you pass, you know, you get somebody else open. If you shoot it, you better make it. You know, I kind of grew up playing with older guys, the same thing. But the humility that you're sharing with this is so valuable for what we're doing. And being a connector, meaning like, how can I, when you step into the room, how can I bring value to this room? Whatever it is, you know, and that's how the people always say you kind of know what your gifts are. If you step into a room, what's the first thing you think about that would make the room better? And if you figure that out, then now you got that's your thing, you know? And so it is so good for you to share that, because again, with Rising Coaches, you know, when I spoke to you last week about doing this, we want to help individually coaches rise and improve and advance. That's part of it individually, but we also, how can we leave this great profession just a tiny bit better than we found it? And the things that you're sharing, man, it is so good. Yeah, just because regardless of the coaching level from youth or NBA or whoever follows us, listens to us, I mean, it's exactly, especially in this day and age where things have kind of shifted to a little bit towards that name on the back, right? I mean, that's where we are, let's face it. So to hear a refreshing story of like, here's a guy that didn't even plan to get into coaching. You were basically catapulted into it. I wouldn't even call it walking into it or stepping into the profession. You got put in one of those boomerang big things and just got launched. But you've kind of been the same old Nate McMillan from Parks and Rec to now. And I know your friends, people that love you would say that. I'm sure your coaching colleagues would say that. But man, it's so refreshing just to hear the humility and the idea of just be a connector, bring, you know, step into the room and figure out, scan the room. What does the room need? What does this team need? What does this staff need? So, man, I guess I'm rambling there. That's an appreciative rambling that I'm saying right there, because that's so valuable for what we're doing here.
Let me tell you one more story. And this is about how I got into coaching. Wally Walker used to sit on the plane next to me. Now, mind you, at this time, Wally is a TV personality. He's doing television for the Sonics. And I used to sit beside each other for about a year and a half. So, you know, in the eyes of the team, that's just a TV guy. He does the games. But we would talk a little bit, and we would talk. But he also watched me at this time on playing. After games, I would go up to the front of the plane and I would ask Coach Carr, we was watching VHSs then, win or lose, I wanted to see film on the game. So I would ask Coach Carl for the machine, you know, and the VHS, you know, can I take the video back to my seat? And I would be watching the game and watching not only me, but I'll be watching the team. You know, it was just something I did. And while I saw all of this, so let's fast forward a year later, Wally moves from TV. Now he becomes the GM of the Seattle Supersonics. Okay. So now he's the GM. And, you know, Wally used to, you know, he was sitting back there with us, not that he was spying or anything like that, but he would hear what the guys and the players were saying, you know, after a game, you know, what we were doing back there, and we won a game and we may have been at this club all night long. In the players' eyes, and even in my, he's a TV analyst. No one knew that or could see that he was GM. Well, anyway, the GM. So as he becomes a GM, now I'm retiring and I'm about to become an assistant. When I became an assistant, Wally became the GM. Now the Sonics are up for sale. The Sonics are up for sale, and Howard Schultz on Starbucks is about to purchase the team, and he needs help from Wally Walker. Now Wally becomes a part owner of the Seattle Supersonics. So he goes from television to GM to part owner, president, and they want a coach for the Seattle Supersonics. So that's why Wally Walker came in to my office, because he had seen me years before that.
And how you treated him, you know, like, that's the thing. Like, you treated the guy like he wasn't just a TV guy to you. He was Wally.
Yeah. I mean, that position was important too. He was a part of the team. Treating him as a part of the team, not the position that he was in, or if he was the equipment guy, or, you know, even those guys, you know, they're part of the team, you know. So he saw all of that. And when he and Howard became partners, he told Howard, I guess he told Howard that, look, you should hire Nate. So what I'm saying is, you know, to the young coaches, you never know who you are working with, or, you know, where that guy may be in a year or two from now. Okay. So you respect others. You know, what are you doing when people are not watching? They're not paying attention to you. How are you living? And I think for a coach, you know, especially these young coaches that are going into the game and trying to get into the game, okay, wherever you are, make sure you got both feet in. You're not looking out the window for that next opportunity. I believe that if you work where you are and you make that organization, that team, or become a winner, opportunities are going to present themselves for all of you. And I would say that to my team. You know, we have to build something here that is solid and that will produce winning. If we do that and we win, we all are going to prosper from that.
It's crazy you say that. I mean, especially, we were just talking about that, what, a couple of days ago, maybe even a week ago. Just, you never know where that person's going to be and what role they're going to step into. So it's, even if they're the janitor, they could be your boss someday. You have no idea.
I don't think you work like that, thinking like, you know, I'm doing, I think you do your job.
You're right. Yeah.
Almost like, it's like, watch me.
That's it. Yeah.
It don't make a difference what position I have. I'm going to give you my all. As I said to you guys about being an assistant and pecking on that computer, I knew I had to go in there, you know, a few hours early. My reports were on time. I think they were pretty good. And, you know, it worked for me. So my thing was, whatever I need to do to preparing is key for me. You know, even speaking to you guys this morning, it's like, okay, exactly what are we talking about? Look, man, being prepared for the opportunity, because you never know when that opportunity is going to come, is so important. As I said to you, he walked into my office a year and a half after I had been an assistant and asked me to coach an NBA franchise. I just look back on my life and say that all the things that happened to me and all the people that worked with me and taught me and mentored me, and you know, all of those things are part of me, and it helped prepare me for that moment. And I didn't think I was ready for it, but being kind of forced into it and given that opportunity, I was able to really take advantage of that and spend 25 years in the NBA coaching. So, you know, you just never know when that opportunity may come.
Couldn't agree more. Could not agree more. And honestly, that's a great piece for just people to hear. Just everything you just said, everything so far, but even just that right there. Because especially, like Alan said, it coming from somebody, it means a lot. But coming from somebody at your caliber and your position and where you've been, what you've seen, it just kind of means that much more to be able to hear. So I know that's going to be able to hit some people home and give some people more of an idea. But we also want to be respectful of your time. So I know, if you don't mind, real quickly, we'll just cut into a final segment. All it is three quick hitters, three quick questions, just quick basic answers, and then a final question to wrap it up. So it's nothing extensive. It'll be very fast. But
so, Doug, you're telling me to be quick.
No, that's up to you. Look, we could sit. I could sit here.
Yeah.
No, we can do this. We could do this all day, man. We were just thinking about, you know, you got your son's game coming up and grandkids, and we don't want your wife thinking about, right, you know, what's it, like the same way she was thinking when you're going to the office, like, hey, how long, who's on that Zoom again?
Your first one would be, out of everything, this one's kind of more personalized, but like, what's your favorite family tradition? Is there something that your family has done throughout the years that you really, really enjoy the most?
Well, I would say anytime we get together, I enjoy that the most. And because basketball has taken me all over the country and my kids have gotten older, I have a son and I have a daughter. And a lot of times we're in different parts of the country. So it's hard. And, you know, when I was coaching, I couldn't be home for Christmas. I mean, I hadn't, you know, or I couldn't be there for Thanksgiving, or I was leaving the day of, or, you know, the night of. And, you know, so being able to have family, and then my kids are working. So being able to get my family together has always been, you know, just something I'm like, wow, you know, I'm just sitting back looking at them. Just thinking about how blessed I am to have my kids here. Now I have two grandkids, which are unbelievable. I mean, wow. I have a 3-year-old grandson, Micah, and my granddaughter was born December 15th of 2023. And my son is now working in Detroit, coaching the Motor City Crews, the G League there. So he got that job this past summer. And we knew that he was moving to Detroit. My wife was like, we're going to load up the truck and move to Beverly. Like, we.
Oh, he got full-time babysitters, man. Yeah.
I didn't even have I had no say. She was going to follow those grandkids and her son. We moved up to Detroit, and we have a place 5 doors down from my son. 5 doors down. And I said, he loves it. Got a nanny right down the street. And it really just kind of felt like the old days when, you know, the communities were connected. And you neighbors and your family lived a couple doors down, and your cousin lived around the corner, and you know, everybody lived within walking distance. And now, you know, the way the country has gone, you know, you don't even see your relatives anymore. You don't know your neighbors, you know. So we were walking down for Christmas, walking to my son's house, me, my wife, and my daughter, and my sister-in-law. And it was like, man, how cool is this? How cool is this, you know, so just awesome.
So you mentioned how you're out in Detroit now. You mentioned you're out in Detroit, and then, but we'll go back to Atlanta. What was your typical pre or post game meal? Did you have anything?
I'm a guy that before I play or coach or do anything, I don't like to eat.
Okay.
I just don't like to eat. And I tell people, because when they ask this question, I want to be hungry. You know, I was like,
yeah, I was the same way. I was funny. It kept me on edge.
So for a 7 o'clock game, I would get lunch. I would have a bite to eat at lunch, and I had to go and lay down for about an hour, at least an hour. You know, sometimes that could go a little longer, not much more than an hour and a half, but I had to go, and a lot of times I would try to sleep, and I found that I wasn't sleeping. I was meditating. I was just really visualizing the game and what needed to be done, who were we playing against, what, you know, all of the things that go through your mind. And doing that, sometimes I'll fall off to sleep. And but I had to, when I left shoot around, I would go get something quick to eat, and then I would go lay down. And my wife, you know, over the years, learned my routine, because this was the same as I did this as a player. But I would have to go and lay down for about an hour or so. I didn't want to talk to nobody. I didn't want to really see anybody. You know, it was just really getting focused for that game that particular night. So she didn't say anything to me. You know, I would come in there, grab something quick to eat, and I would go jump in bed. And, you know, she, you know, turn off her phones and close the door and do all of those things. And then I would get up, get my bag together, and then I would go to the arena. And that was my routine. And I would get to the arena early. You know, normally I'm at the arena about four hours before 7 o'clock game, 3 to 4 hours before 7 o'clock game. And I would just go through video and go through, you know, my message and my notes and all of that. You know, and I kind of got some of that from Coach K. You know, K was a man that was really big on his first words to his team. You know, he felt like, and we were talking about this one day, and he just felt like, I got to grab their attention quick, and then I got to make my point, and then I got to move on. Don't want to be spending a lot of time talking and all of that. Grab their attention and move on. You know, so I would really sit and just think about that. You know, grab my team's attention and then move on, and not, you know, part of what he and a lot of coaches do, and what I was trying to do, is we prepare in practice. You know, we it's too late to try to do all of that during the day of the game and in the game. You know, so have the team prepared when they take the floor, and then they should be able to operate and flow smoothly. So, but I had a routine, and I was really superstitious about, you know, one of the things that I really didn't like was when I would come home and coach. When I would come back to North Carolina and coach, now family, you got to get.
Oh, right. Yeah. phone don't stop ringing.
They want to come over to the hotel and right. out the night before. I would say 95% of the time, I didn't go to dinner with nobody the night before. I wanted to be in my room. I wanted watching film. You know, when I, you know, if I got all my film in, then let's check out a movie. But I just wanted peace time. I wanted to focus and get myself ready for tomorrow morning's shoot, walk through or shoot around. And then that day it was getting ready for the game. So I really did not like going out to dinner. You know, majority of the time order some room service, something quick, and, you know, just be in there going, writing my game plans and my notes down, watching some, a little extra film, and getting myself prepared that night's game.
Be a big dude to be able to feed all that, though. I'm not sure where all those, you know, if you're not eating that much, but no, I completely get it. I honestly had Subway sandwiches before games, so that probably wasn't the best substitute.
I was a big Subway guy, and I became a big Subway guy because of Frank Vogel. When I was working with Frank in Indiana, that guy had a Subway sandwich before every game. He would send one of our interns or young assistants out to get whoever wanted a Subway. And if it was one close, he would walk to that place and get it. But, oh, yeah, Subway was one of my favorite spots, too.
And then the last quick hitter that we had before we got to the final question was just the best piece of advice that you have primarily for, like, outside of your career. So we'll get to inside your career here. That's kind of the final question. But this one is just the best piece of advice, maybe like a mentor, maybe a family member, maybe just another coach has given you that not necessarily help you for your career, but just help you as a human being and as an individual.
And it's so many. And what I tell the kids that I speak to, I just started my foundation. I just launched my foundation. The Nate McMillan Foundation for Fatherless Kids. I was a fatherless kid growing up, and I never seen my father before, you know. So, I didn't have that male figure in my life as a father, but I did have mentors and role models and that helped me along the way. My mother is the strongest person. Or mentor that I certainly have. And I would say my brother is that other strong. As I mentioned, my brother is 5 years older than me, but he took on that role as that father figure and, you know, just kept me going right and you know, doing, you know, giving me the tools, so to speak, to be prepared for life in this world. Of course, coaches and, you know, I had teachers and I had, men in the community that were my role models and mentors. And I had visual mentors because at that time, you know, I was a big Magic Johnson fan. You know, high school and watching Magic in the pros, he was a big guard and I was a big guard. So I watched him and I would listen to him. You know, I would listen to his interviews, and you know, he was a mentor from afar that didn't know had no idea who Nate McMillan was. He was one. Cheeks was the other guy. I love Mo Cheeks. You know, I was a 76ers fan, and Mo guard that set everything up. You know, for all of those guys, he defended. He was kind of that guy that was below the radar, but he was the glue to that team, of those guys. So there were so many mentors that I kind of made some of them my mentor. And then I had some that were in my life, such as my brother and, you know, some of my coaches And of course, my mother just, being a lady who had what, seventh grade education, had six kids, working two jobs, and learning to make the most out of what she had. And what a coach has to do. Okay. These players are the ingredients. And you got to make a pie. Okay.
That's right. No question.
Playing all you want, but this is what you have to.
That's right.
And she showed me how to work with what she had to raise six kids, five boys, and so they don't need a complaining. Okay, just do it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, she was saying that before Nike said it.
Yeah, right. just do it. Yeah, we should have patented that, right?
Yeah, no questions.
just do it. So she showed me that. And then my brother was a big part. I'll tell you a quick story real quick. When my junior year, I'm going into my senior year, my brother has gone through this recruiting thing, and he takes me to a steakhouse, he and my uncle. I'm wondering, okay, how can you afford to go to a steakhouse, and why are you taking me to a steakhouse? I've never been to a steakhouse. So he didn't say anything to me. So he and my uncle are sitting there, and they asked me, the waitress comes up to the table and says, what would you like? And I was like, I'd like a steak. And she said, well, how would you like it prepared? And I said,
done.
I want it cooked.
That's a one word answer. Yeah. That's right.
So my brother and my uncle are doing just like you guys, just bust out laughing.
Oh, man.
Now I know that the waitress was in on this. So I said, she's like, but how would you like it prepared? So I looked at my brother like, what's this lady talking about, man? He said, well, do you want medium? You want it medium well? You want it rare? You want it well done? I'm looking at him again. How do I want my steak?
Right, yeah, you tell me.
So they're done laughing. Well, he ordered it for me. So now they bring the steak out. He wants to see me cut it. So again, I stab it and I'm sawing right. Steak right off the plate onto the floor. But what he was doing, he knew I was about to go on recruiting trips. And he knew those guys were going to take me to a steakhouse or a nice family. And he knew to know how to order a steak. And sure enough, I go on a visiting trip to UCW, Wilmington, and we go to a steakhouse. And this is where my brother played at. It's about three or four recruits there, and the coaching staff, and my brother, and we all at the steakhouse. And the waitress comes over to Nate McMillan and says, what would you like? I would like a steak. How would you like to prepare? I would like it medium well with a slight bit of pink.
Yeah, there you go. That's how I like them. I like it.
A baked potato, please. Now, this other recruit didn't know how to order a steak.
Right.
He ordered that steak and it came rare.
Oh, no, can't do that.
The plate just had blood all in
it. Oh, yeah.
He did just like you guys, like, oh, what is this? he had to eat it.
And yeah, right. Yeah, they're not getting you two of them. Yeah, he, right.
That steak, because he didn't know how to order it. And my brother's over, he's looking at me from the other side of the table, cutting my eye like, okay. So he was doing things like that for me that at that time I had no idea of what he was, but etiquette is what he was teaching me, because he knew that I was, and he's done many, many things like that. He introduced me to my attorney that when I was in high school, I had absolutely no money. I wasn't even thinking about going to college at that time. But in the 11th grade, he introduced me to this attorney. And I'm wondering, why are you introducing me to an attorney? And sure enough, years later, I'm going to need an attorney because I got drafted into the NBA.
Yeah. Review your contracts. And yeah.
So, and that guy to this day is still my attorney, you know, so, but he was doing things like that, that helped me along the way. And that is the reason that I've started my foundation, because I want to provide these tools for these young men, especially the fatherless kids who don't have that mentor or that role model in their life, and you know, provide programs for these kids to enter in so that they can learn, you know, just, you know, etiquette and you know, different things that they're going to need along the way.
That's great. I mean, it's great that you at least had somebody to kind of help you walk you through all of this too, kind of help guide you to the right way. Because as you're saying, there's people who don't have that and they're figuring out, they're over there ordering steaks with blood going all over the place and like trying to figure it out as they go. So
yeah, you had a committee, man. You had a committee. I mean, literally, like
I didn't know it at the time. And, you know, in a lot of kids today, they don't have that because our community, and say the Black community, has been broken up. You know, we're all over. We don't have these fathers and these older guys living in our community. We're spread out, and you know, and I understand that. But so what we're trying to do with this foundation is bring some of those kids back, connect with them, and provide guidance to them and some support to them. And because they need it. I know for a fact, if I didn't have all of that, I wouldn't be sitting with you guys right now, you know? And I think we all can look back on our lives and say that, yeah, that guy there, or that lady there, or that teacher, or that coach, or that.
No doubt.
If it wasn't for
yep.
that, them it. Doing something, okay.
Yep.
There's no one that's successful that hasn't had some help
yep.
somewhere.
No, I got lunch with my high school coach next week, man. So I know exactly what you're saying. If he didn't give me advice, coaching is not in my path. So,
and then we're going to spin off of the advice, because I know you just gave a plethora of just different things. And also kind of, I would love to say as well, if you have a link or anything that we can share, any marketing that we have, any ad, anything we put out, we'd love to be able to put your foundation up. Obviously you have a big enough name as is to be able to, you know, support yourself.
No question.
But hey, the more the merrier, the more the merrier. And I'm sure even if one person gets helped out from, or at least from your foundation through us, that somebody, that's one more person whose life got more, I guess, in better hands, more successful. But the final question that we like to always ask everybody to wrap things up is just the number one, if you could narrow it down to one, best piece of advice for young rising coaches. And then really, what's that? How can they accomplish that advice? This is more centered towards your career now. So just as a coach in general, how can they move up? How can they grow in the industry?
Look for work. Get out there and hustle. Learn coaching. Okay, there are a lot of coaches that will help you. Okay, and you have to get out here and get involved. You know, attend coaches clinics, attend camps, try to work as many camps as you can. Okay, because when you do things like that, you're connecting yourself to that fraternity. Okay, connecting yourself to that fraternity. So I don't care which level that you are coaching at, whether it's Little League, high school, AAU, college, professional, all of us are in that same fraternity. We are coaches, we are teachers. Okay, so you're always learning. Okay, and depending upon the level that you are at, right now, one of the things that the younger coaches are going to have to learn is analytics. Okay, that is, you know, technology. Okay. They have to be, you have to have yourself up on technology, analytics, because that's where sports has gone to. You know, so when you get that opportunity, you're ready for that opportunity, as we talked about, you know, a while back. And wherever you are working, have both feet in. Okay, don't be focusing on, I shouldn't say you don't focus on option two or plan B. I really think that if you work where you are and you do some things to make that organization or that company better, okay, you'll be able to move up the ladder. Because if you're not concerned about that person over there watching you and you just doing your job, and your job is in and it's being productive, that boss or that Wally Walker that's working with you is going to eventually say, look, I want to move you up. I want to do this. Because it, as I say, my coaches and players, there's no one that wants to win or have success more than the coach or the owner of a company. So if you're doing something to make that team better, if you don't have to, I've never questioned a coach, because I let my play speak for me. Because that coach wants to win. And if he feels that my play is going to help him win, he's going to put me on the floor. Okay, so and that's the same thing with being an assistant or working in a business. If that owner or that coach feel that your work that you are doing is helping this team win, whether it's drills you come up with or ideas you come up with or the amount of time that you spend out on that floor, they are going to move you up. They're going to move you up. Or they're going to recommend you to someone. You know, so don't worry about, I think a lot of times what happens with young people is they want it now. They want the big money. They want everything now.
And, right. Now or yesterday.
they want to go six figures right out of college. It's like, and it, the world doesn't work that way. You know, I'm strong in my, or I've gotten strong in my faith, and I understand that you have to be patient. You have to, you know, and you have to continue to believe and continue to work and continue to do right and right and play right. And I call those my common sense laws: do right, work right, play right. And I think if you take that approach, that and you're patient, the thing's going to eventually happen for you. And a lot of times, you know, even for us, you know, we probably were hoping for success and money and all of these things, you know, about when we was 18, 19, 20 years old. And we you know, I saw it a little sooner, you know, because I was a little lucky and was able to get into a profession, paid really good money. But sometimes you don't see that until you're in your 30s or your 40s, you know. So you don't give up on your dreams. Continue to work where you are and try to make that company or that team the best. And loyalty, respect, all of that plays a part. Because that man, that head coach, he knows when you're networking and you're he knows it. And he can sense that. And that's not that's not something that you want to pass on to that head coach or, you know, the CEO of a company.
That couldn't be any better.
Love it, man. Coach, that's what we call a bat flip home run. I know you being a former baseball guy, you know what a bat flip is. Oh, so yeah.
Reggie Jackson, because it's as good as they get.
Yeah. Just wouldn't cross first base till the ball was way into the stands, you know. So, but man, this is just thank you so much, man. Yeah. This has been golden for us. I mean, Doug will close us out here shortly, but before he does, I just want to personally, you know, Dave West connected us, and man, I feel like I've known you 20 years. You know, just from, you know, just visiting with you, and thank you just so much for sharing your wisdom. I mean, it's going to hit so many people right in the bullseye once we put this out. So just thank you.
Enjoyed it. It was fun, and I got a few more stories. They all real. You can.
Hey man, no, I grew up watch. I mean, you were hooping at NC State when the shorts were ultra short. So I remember watching you. You Sonics had great teams, NBA Finals against the Bulls. I mean, just, you know, so, you know, you don't have to. I'm a believer because I witnessed it. So, and if Doug don't believe it, I'm gonna punch him in his mouth. So we're already good on that. Yeah. But so Doug, you want to go ahead and close us out, Doug? You stay on just for a little bit, Nate. Okay. Just after we close out, so we'll get your foundation information.
Coach McMillan, thank you very much. And that does it again for another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. Again, Doug and Alan over here signing off. Keep working, keep rising, coaches. Take care, everybody.
Prepare your team for success this season with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball, the official number one selling shooting machine in basketball. If you're looking to transform and focus your team's training efforts, all you have to do is mention Rising Coaches or tell them we sent you with the Rising Coaches Podcast. For an additional $300 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines.
I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.